A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry Jr. This show is posted up at soundcloud.com/shillfreesports. Subscribe and download on iTunes. Search for Pick and Pop Podcast. Pick and Pop, no and. Pick and Pop Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at the Sam D. That's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D on Twitter. So we're about a week and a half into the regular season. I know you guys are as hype as I am, right? Like, you guys are hype. We had the Dubs opening night. We had the Cavs opening night. Two very different outcomes. The Dubs get destroyed on their home court by the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, and of all people, Jonathan Simmons, the D-League zone Jonathan Simmons, the dude who paid $150 of his own money to try out for the D-League. That Jonathan Simmons helped the Spurs wipe the floor with the Dubs. Now, I know you're saying, Sam, that was like more than, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. Come on, man, stop riding the Dubs. But you see, it was built for that moment. The moment was the Dubs rebounding off, blowing a 3-1 lead in the finals. First time ever. That moment at Oracle last week was built for them to dominate. They went out and signed the top free agent in KD, Kevin Durant. Bring him in. He's on board now. Now you have a revamped bench, but now a dominant, some say, starting five. And you want to trot them out against the Spurs, who are now a year older. LaMarcus Aldridge apparently, allegedly wants out. And no Tim Duncan. So it was all the makings for a Dubs romp at the crib at Oracle in front of all the new Dubs Nation shills. And then your boy Jonathan Simmons went out there and recreated LeBron's numerous dunks from games 5 to 7 on Steph Curry. He just kept recreating it. Same size almost as LeBron. Same chase down blocks as LeBron on Steph. Steph had to be having flashbacks, right? Steph had to. Only thing missing was a dagger 3 in his eyes and throwing a behind the back pass that sails 2 rows into the front row. But besides all of that, he should have called flashbacks off of that block, right? So Dubs get destroyed. Now they have righted the ship since then. They've played well since then. But again, the Spurs are clearly the best team they've played so far. Dubs went into Rip City last night and put the whooping on the Trailblazers. The Blazers are a cute team. They're fun. Dame Lillard is dropping albums, so people want to, you know, say he's the truth. He's the next dude. He's the next point guard that's going to come up. He's got a little AI in him, allegedly. I don't see it, but others do. But the Blazers are flawed. They are the Washington Wizards of the West. They have a great backcourt and nothing else. Now, you want to give me Allen Crabbe? Nah, son. Vonleh? Nah, son. Who you flipped, you know, Batum for? Shipped him to Charlotte and made him become all-star in Charlotte while you stuck with Vonleh? Nah, son. So again, the Dubs have only really played one really good team that you could say is a contender, and they got destroyed by damn near 30 on their home court, which led to a 4-game losing streak, if you were counting, and you know that I was. So is this more about the Dubs or more about the Spurs? Are we sleeping on the Spurs? Are we sleeping on Kawhi Leonard taking another step to becoming top five in the league? Not just top five two-way player, but just top five overall in the league. Is he becoming that dominant? Is Jonathan Simmons now a piece? Is he that sixth man the way Ginobili used to be that could come in off the bench, get buckets, and be clutch? Is Tony Parker still fighting off all the time? I mean, he hit Steph with a couple of spin moves that was, you know, he was doing to, like, you know, Derek Fisher back in the early 2000s. And the spin move was still working. how your boy Steph Curry in the scout report. But, you know, again, you know, unanimous MVP, you know, Curry threes, you know, that's old, right? Right. We will get to that. So while KD is finding his way with the Dubs to try to figure it out, your man's Westbrook. His old man's, KD's old man's, Westbrook is going nuts, bruh. Absolutely, positively nuts. I mean, let's take a quick look at Russ's game log. I'm going to pull this up here. I mean, look, you know, he's had two triple-doubles, and he's had a 50-pointer already. It's absolutely amazing what he's done so far. Russ is averaging 38.7, so we round up on this show, right? Because it's the Pick and Pop podcast. So we round up. He's averaging 39 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. Three games. 38, 12, and 12. Now, I told y'all, Russ going to put up triple-double-like numbers. I ain't think he'd average it, bruh. 38, 12, and 12. And he's shooting 45% from the field. And 44% from three. What up, KD? The one thing you gotta say about Russ, though, he's taking 29 shots a night. I mean, damn, son. 29 shots a night. That's an astronomical number. I don't know how many. His arms gotta be tired from chucking up the rock so much, but 29 shots a night. If I'm getting 29 shots a night, plus 12 free throws a night, I better be averaging damn near 40. And that's what Russ is doing. But triple-double Russ is out here getting buckets, right? So what does this mean for OKC? They went and they locked up Oladipo, 4 years, $84 million. They locked up Steven Adams, 4 years, $100 mil. Now, how about that? This is a dude who spent his postseason getting routinely kicked in the nuts, and he cashes out for $25 million a year. Now, let me pose this question to you. If you had to get kicked in the nuts on national television for 25 mil, would you do it? Now think about it. We got YouTube. We got all types of video software that could save and permanently put that on the loop. Rest in peace, Vine. But we could put that video of you getting kicked in the nuts repeatedly on national TV forever, or seemingly forever. 25 mil, you do it? I do it, but with a caveat. I'm going to throw them hands with whoever kicks me in the nuts after the check clears. So whoever kicks me in the nuts for that 25 mil, he best be out, bro. Because he going to catch these hands. And I used to box when I was a kid, so these hands do work. But the Thunder, right? The Thunder have went out here and have established a core around Russ. But how good is this core? We're not sure, right? Like, Adams is okay. He's getting buckets. He put the spin moves on Embiid. He was bodying Embiid. And, you know, Embiid's out here saying Adams can't guard him. Meanwhile, Adams is killing him for 12 in like a 5-minute stretch. So Adams' game is expanding. With no KD, seemingly with no KD, and I think more importantly for Adams, no Ibaka, is opening up the paint for Adams to get buckets. So Adams is getting buckets. He still got my boy Enes Kanter off the bench, getting major minutes, 25, 30 minutes a night, getting buckets. And then you got Oladipo. Look, I'm not high on Oladipo. I will not sit here and shill and act like I like Oladipo's game or anything like that. I think he was drafted way too high. I think he's way overrated to me. But if OKC thinks, look, we got to lock up these dudes because, number one, it looks like Russ likes Oladipo. So if you want to keep Russ long-term, and basically what Russ did in all season was just sign an extra year to his deal. So you didn't really get that much security, more so than he's not leaving at the end of this year. Got him for two more years, right? This year and next year. So he seems to like Oladipo, so you lock up his man's Oladipo. He definitely likes Adams because Adams is out there setting screens, hard body for Russ all night. And he's on the receiving end of a lot of those 12 assists a game that Russ is out here dropping. So he has a rapport with Adams. So you lock him up, 4 years, $100 mil. They got, you know, Arvydas Sabonis' son out there. He's out there. He's trying to be like a stretched four type of player. I'm not sure what else they got, but OKC is trying. They're trying to establish something, a culture built around Russ. And now we're going to see a complete you know, the way that Russ plays, you think he'll get hurt a little bit. But if he plays a full 82-game season, I would love to see just the sheer numbers of what Russ can do over 82 games. Like, they have metrics where you can average out and predict what a guy would do per 35 minutes or per game in a adjusted length season and all that. Now, I want to see 82 of actual Russell Westbrook games so I can see those numbers. Other things from last week going into this week. Yo, the Bulls. Yo, the Bulls, son. Again, you know, I pull no biases. I grew up a Chicago Bulls fan, as well as Bears and Blackhawks and New York Mets. But my fandom has diminished as I've gotten older. So I still follow those teams, but I'm not a diehard by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think I ever was a diehard, but I'm nowhere near the fanatic that I used to be, like, back in the day when I was a teenager on up until my, you know, my early 20s and stuff like that. So at this point, I'm just like, hey, they won. All right, that's cool. Like, I feel good, but it doesn't make my day or my week. Like, when I was a teenager and the Bulls would come in here and put the whooping on the Knicks, it would make my week. Mainly because I was a Bulls fan, and plus I was surrounded by Knicks fans, so I get to gloat every day at school. Jokes for days on the homies. And they know who they are. They listen to the Pick 'em Pop podcast, as you are. But the Bulls, though. D-Wade's out here chucking threes and making them. You know, at a point during the LeBron years, the LeBron college years in Miami, his foray to South Beach University. LeBron, his three point percentage went up. His attempts went up and his percentage went up. But Wade's attempts and his percentage went down. It's almost like once Wade figured out, yo, my shots ain't falling, he just stopped shooting threes. He fell in love with the mid-range game, and that's kind of been his move and his game, a big part of his arsenal the last 4 or 5 years of his career. So now he's in Chicago. He has to change his identity again because the Bulls ain't out here. They already got enough dudes shooting mid-range jumpers. I mean, they got Rondo and Jimmy Butler. That's all the mid-range game you need right there. So they need somebody for this Fred Hoiberg offense to work to stretch the floor. Now, Fred Hoiberg, you know, the Bulls coach of his own right, was a great three-point shooter. That's mainly what he did when he was in the league. So now D-Wade has basically said, yo, I got a new shooting coach, and the shooting coach is my head coach. So Hoiberg got him out here shooting threes, and he's tinkered with the mechanics a little bit. And now D-Wade's out here shooting at a 40% clip. 40% for D-Wade is major, bruh. Major. I can't imagine what Miami must be thinking, seeing D-Wade chuck up all these threes and the Bulls are undefeated. Now remember, this Wade signing was a last-minute thing. This wasn't, you know, when KD announced and D-Wade announced. This wasn't in conjunction with anything. They waited until a little more than, you know, a month and a half ago to sign Wade to Chicago. And D-Wade, I just had to look up the stats. D-Wade shooting 55% from three. 55. I was giving him just 40. I wanted to confirm it. 55. You know who else shooting from threes at over 50%? Jimmy Butler. Now, we all know that's not going to hold up, right? But right now, you got Jimmy Butler and D-Wade shooting over 50% from three. And they're all averaging double figures in shots. Butler, 12 shots. D-Wade, slightly one more, 13. Nikola Mirotic, 11. Taj Gibson, 11. The Bulls look good because they have the number one offense in the league right now. Not the Dubs. Not all the usual suspects who like to run and gun and get up and down the court and chuck the shots up. You know, Indiana wants to move at a faster pace. It ain't them. The Raptors love all the shots. You know, DeRozan and Lowry love all the shots that they take. They put it up quick. Not them. It's the Chicago Bulls. Who had that? Number one in offensive rating. Who had that? Second in points. Number one in offensive rating. Amazing. And they're 3-0. Now, this ain't going to lead me to think 2 seed, 60 wins, or nothing like that. Because you know the other, something's going to happen. Wade and his hamstrings, or his back, or something. He's going to need to take a break. Like how LeBron did last year. He took that 2-week vacation out there in South Beach because I forget what the phantom injury was. He basically just wanted to take a break. Wade's going to have that. He's going to have another South Beach break in him. But as a Bulls supporter, not a fan, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, I think the most they can do is a 3 seed. 3 seed is a lot more than I thought they could have been. I thought they could have been between a 4 and a 6. Now, they play like this, and the way that the East is shaking out, because Boston, I know the media loves it, because the media just loves and wants Boston to be back to what they used to be. And I ain't talking about, you know, the big three of KG, Jesus Shuttlesworth, and the truth. I'm talking about the way the Celtics used to be. Bird, McHale, Danny Ainge, Bill Walton, Dave Cowens. Those Celtics. That's what the media wants the Celtics to really be, truth be told. Another play that's opened eyes so far in this week and a half of basketball is your boy The Beard. The Beard's out here, and, you know, I told you guys on this podcast, and I guess hosted on another podcast that I tweeted out there at TheSamD, TheSamD on Twitter. Harden's going to put up ridiculous numbers with D'Antoni, man, because D'Antoni, this is the best player he's had since he had a young Amari Stoudemire. Yeah, I know you're going to say, but he had Nash, though. 2-time MVP Nash. Look, talk to Shaq about who really should have won them MVPs when Nash won it. But I'm talking about best player to run that offense and to capitalize and flourish in that offense. I think Harden is the best player D'Antoni has coached since a young Amari Stoudemire. Now, remember, D'Antoni had Kobe for a minute. He had Dwight. Had Melo. James Harden's the best player Mike D'Antoni's had for his system and his style of play since a young Amari Stoudemire. And I think he knows that. And that's why he moved Harden to the point. Just let him go. The ball's in his hands anyway. The offense goes through him anyway. You might as well make him. He's a de facto point guard without really playing it. But at least now, you put the Beard at the point, and you got Eric Gordon at the 2. And then you still got guys like Corey Brewer, Trevor Ariza, and then they brought in Nene. He's looked halfway decent. I mean, so they have bodies there. Ryan Anderson, the big free agent pickup. So they have him chucking 3, stretching the ball even more. So it's more options. So with all these shooters, with Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson especially, Harden should be able to get the double teams that he normally gets, and then kick it. And not kick it to, look, Trevor Ariza has lasted a lot longer than I thought in the league. Corey Brewer has lasted a lot longer than I thought in the league. But they're not the caliber shooters as Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. It's just not the same. We're talking about two completely different shooters in comparison. So Harden now gets the double. He can either force his way to the paint and get those easy bucket free throws or and ones, or he can kick it to Ryan Anderson, who's a lethal three-point shooter, and Eric Gordon, who, when he's healthy and is able to be on the court, is one of the best three-point shooters in the game. Streaky, but still one of the best three-point shooters in the game. Houston's going to be really good. Now, they still can't play defense. Now, Harden has, you know, improved himself, or at least improved the effort from that video that came out, I think it was 2 seasons ago, where he just played like it was like a low light of all of Harden's defensive liabilities. It was just all of them in like an 8-minute montage with just defensive lapses and just falling asleep on D and not picking up the right guy and rotating wrong and all of that. He bounced back last year to look average defensively. Now, mind you, he came into the league as somewhat of a stopper, but nobody pays stoppers. The league pays scores, and that's what Harden became. And he's one of the best in the league. But D'Antoni said before the season that he thought Harden could average 15 assists a game. That's a lot. But Tony said in this offense, if he plays the way that he's supposed to play and he's capable of playing and the guys make the shots, obviously, that's a key component, he could average 15 assists a game. And Harden said, coach tripping. First game of the year, Rockets-Lakers. Harden had 14 assists in the first half. And he had 15 dimes last night. So, I mean, really, I mean, Harden's leading the league in assists right now. You know that? He's averaging 12 assists a game. We round up. It's 11.8, but as we do on the Pick and Pop podcast, and I am Sam Dusenberry Jr., and thank you for listening, we round up on this program. So it's 11.8. He's averaging 12 assists a game. And he's still giving you 32 points. He's giving you 32 points and 12 assists. He's a walking triple-double every night. Him and Russ, the two dudes that KD couldn't get it done with, somehow on their own are all both averaging damn near triple-doubles, and Russ is actually averaging a triple-double. Now, does that say more about KD? Or does that say more about OKC and their inept coaching and Scott Brooks and just not being able to figure out how you had three dudes who are all capable of dropping 30 and y'all only got to the finals once? Staying in the Western Conference, I want to talk about one of my favorite teams. You know, there's styles of play, there's players. There goes a lot into why you like a team. It's either, you know, the uniform sometimes it's the logo. Sometimes it's, you know, the star player or just the ensemble of players. Sometimes it's the coach. Sometimes it's the cheerleader. Sometimes it's the arena. I would like to talk about Fraud City. Fraud City, you know them. The team that shares the building with the Lakers. They play at Staples Center. They are rumored to want to get their own building. I got a perfect name for it, the Fraud Center. Fraud City is undefeated. Fraud City's 3-0. Fraud City looks like a contender to some pundits. The Point Fraud, and shout out to 538. I see you on Twitter. They had an article about the Point Fraud, and the headline said, Point God or Point Fraud? Nice to know people are listening on the Pick and Pop podcast. Remember where you heard that term first. Point Fraud, coined by yours truly on the Pick and Pop podcast. Shout out to 538 though. So the Point Fraud's out here looking good. The Kia jumper, back after punching the equipment manager last year and breaking his hand and then struggling in the playoffs and proving to be the fraud that I think he is, and just being a guy who could jump over league-sponsored cars and league-sponsored dunk contests for him to win. The Kia jumper looks good. But here's the problem. They're 3-0. Do any of you guys even think the Dubs or the Spurs are thinking about them? Like, real talk, like, who do you think? Now, look, I think the Dubs are only thinking about the Cavs, just to keep it a buck. Now, after the Spurs went into their crib and dusted them, they might have second thoughts about the Spurs. But right now, if you're the Dubs, who are you thinking about in terms of May and June? First round, light. Stay healthy. Just stay healthy. Sweep. Light. Second round, maybe you have to go through the frauds. Maybe go through Portland, Houston if they're there, Utah low-key, light. Conference Finals, they're thinking probably Spurs now. So right now, even though they're 3-0, even though Fraud City looks like a relevant contender in the Western Conference, the true Western Conference contenders aren't even thinking about them. How empty is that? That must be a really sad, empty feeling to be 3-0 and know that the team that everybody says is going to win the conference and win going away care less about your 3-0. I mean, Fraud City, they keep... It's weird, you know, because it's like... Their whole mantra this year was, we're bringing everybody back. Cleveland did that. They brought damn near everybody back. I mean, he added Birdman, but that's that he's an ancillary piece. So they essentially brought the whole crew back, especially with JR in the summer, JR being concluded by signing that major contract where he got paid. Shout out to World Wide West getting that bread. But the Cavs mantra is, we bringing the whole crew back. Frost City got the same mantra. Paul Pierce, one last ride. Jamal Crawford, another year. Doc Rivers overpaid his own son. And they brought the whole crew back. So they're basically giving you the same roster. As I mentioned last year, the same roster. Steve Ballmer, $2 billion, getting the same product 2 years in a row. Somehow this team is supposed to now get over the hump, even though the Spurs could be better than last year. Addition by subtraction. No longer have to play K to Duncan. Now, obviously, going to lose something there, but in terms of instant offense, tempo, pace, Spurs are better. Dubs went out there and got KD. Now, again, I think the bench is trash. But in the playoffs, your depth chart is short anyway. Your rotation is down to about 7-8 guys, and the Dubs only got 7 guys who they trust anyway. So they're already built for the playoffs. Fraud City's out here with the same roster. They're reissuing. It's like, look. Nike came out, reissued all the J's, right? Everybody went nuts. Bring it back. We want it. Reebok even. Reissuing the AIs. The pumps. Memorable shoes. Even the Shaqs. Hell, even the Ewins have come back. And people are rocking them. You know what Fraud City is? Fraud City is like when Fila tried to bring back the Grant Hills. Y'all remember the Grant Hills? The Grant Hills were popping for like a month or two. Almost as long as Grant Hills' health tenure with Orlando. But I digress. Fila's tried to bring back the Grant Hill thinking, all right, well, everybody else is bringing joints back from the 90s that were popping. We got to jump in on this and get some of this bread and get these dudes out here to pay, you know, $110, $120 for some oversized and old Grant Hills. And nah. I ain't seen not one dude buy the reissues. So the frauds are out here bringing back Austin Rivers. Bringing back Paul Pierce one more year. Jamal Crawford one more year. Bringing him back like that's going to change anything. Like now this is really going to be a next move. It's not. It's the same old frauds. They were frauds last year. They were frauds the year before. Hell, I can make a case they were frauds even during the Donald Sterling thing. That's for another show. But this is what it's come to. The Dubs are out here getting new J's. Reissuing the new J's. The block is hot. Flooding. The Spurs, addition by subtraction. They reissuing the AIs, the answers. Even the D Brown, the pumps. The streets is hot. And then here come Fraud City with the goddamn Grant Hills. And that's why they're the Fraud City. And that's why I call them Fraud City. And I hope they do get a new arena. And I'm dead ass serious. I hope it's called the Fraud Center. I hope there's a $1 billion company that's called Fraud and gets the naming rights for whatever building Fraud City moves into. I will start a GoFundMe for that company to help. All right, we'll move over to the Eastern Conference. There's a team that I've been asked about via text, via Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, TheSamD. Guys that hit me up, they see the Knicks. They want to know what I think about the Knicks. Sam, what's going on with the Knicks? How you think they look so far? The problem is with the Knicks is that I got good news and bad news for Knicks fans. I don't know what they want first. Normally with Knicks fans, they're used to bad, so I give them the good first. The good news for Knicks fans, the good news for the 2016-2017 Knicks so far. Derrick Rose looks good. Derrick Rose looks good. He's got the bounce. Not prime D-Rose bounce, but he's got a good enough bounce left. The handles is still sharp. He can explode a little bit. And he's healthy. I say he's about 85%. So the good news for Knicks fans is that Derrick Rose looks good. The bad news? The bad news for the Knicks. And look, I'm sorry I have to do this to the Knicks fans. But they asked me, so I have to respond to them. I'm a man of the people. I try to respond. I try to give you the realness. The problem, the bad news for the Knicks, is that Derrick Rose looks good. That's the problem. Because the problem is, when Derrick Rose looks good, your offense ain't going to look good. I'm telling you that as a Bulls supporter, not a Bulls fan. When Derrick Rose looks good, your offense doesn't. Derrick Rose had 2 assists last night. Now, mind you, the Knicks lost to the Pistons. Pistons aren't very good. No Reggie Jackson. Yes, they got Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond, but the Knicks should have won. Knicks got more talent. Knicks should have won, but they didn't. And problem is, they got Brandon Jennings out there trying to be a pure point guard. And Brandon Jennings went Brandon Jennings. He started throwing up wild layups and wild jump shots. And he had a revenge because, you know, he used to play in Detroit. And he got him out the paint for Tobias Harris. Didn't get along with Stan Van, so they had to get him up out the paint. And Brandon Jennings tried to go nut against his former team. And it didn't help the Florida offense because Derrick Rose was out there. And when he was out there, he was going to the cup wildly and aggressively, which is what he does and which his game is predicated on. But he doesn't get nobody else involved. 2 assists. 2 assists for Derrick Rose last night. And that's the yin and the yang. When he's good, D. Rose, he's going to the cup. He's getting and ones. He's getting, you know, he helps your offensive rebounders because he draws so much attention in the paint that they're not worried about boxing out no more because they're all flying, trying to knock him out the air. So he draws that attention, and guys like Noah can clean up. Guys like O'Quinn can clean up. Porzingis can clean up. Melo can clean up. But the problem is those guys are doing nothing until Rose decides what side of the rim he's going to drive on, most likely the left. If you stop Rose from going to the left side, you pretty much got him. But, you know, Bulls got a report from a supporter, not a fan. So what are you going to do if you're the Knicks? You want to run this triangle, this hybrid triangle, up-tempo offense, but you got the best point guard New York has had in about 15, 20 years. Shout out to Marbury. And his best move is to damn the offense and go 1-on-5. That's your point guard. Savior, number 25. What a weird number for Derrick Rose. So used to number 1. I mean, I guess Simeon, 25, 5. Yeah, I guess it works, but just doesn't look right. I guess it's the whole New York thing across his chest that just doesn't sit right with me. It's a supporter in me, I guess. But your best player next to Melo is a point guard that's better 1-on-3, 1-on-4, and not necessarily moving the ball around. Now look, even Rose at his peak, I think only averaged maybe 6 to 8 dimes a game. So it's not like he was putting up Nash-like numbers in Chicago and now he's all of a sudden, because of the injuries, a shell of his former self. He's never been a big assist guy, but now it's even worse. I mean, 2 assists, dog, 2 assists, you got Melo. He's got better talent around him right now than he's ever had than he ever had in Chicago. He's never had a scorer like Melo. Never. Never. And 2 assists. It's a problem. So that's the good and the bad news for the Knicks. I think they still can be a playoff team. I think they should be. Now, they can't be dropping games like Detroit. They went out there, they beat Memphis at home. That's a good win that they should that they were supposed to get. That they should have gotten. But Detroit, even though it's on the road, no Reggie Jackson, you let Tobias Harris go nuts? Bad loss. But Good news, you got 85% Derrick Rose. Bad news is, you got 85% Derrick Rose. Good luck, Knicks. Knicks tape. One last thing I want to touch on before I get up out of here. Something a little bit more vague, more just looking forward. It's not analyzing games or whatever like that. Just looking at Embiid and watching him growing. You know, I said it was a millennial Olajuwon. A lot of people feel the same way, and that's kind of made the rounds and stuff like that. But it's really kind of, it's an easy comparison. But I really haven't seen or thought of anybody else who reminds me of him. I mean, it's easy. African is like an African. So Olajuwon Embiid, so he's got to be like him. But it's not really like that. It's the fact that he's got the similar background with the soccer like Olajuwon has. So Olajuwon came into the league with already good footwork. Now, his game, Olajuwon's game is way more raw offensively when he came into the league than Embiid. Embiid's out here, you know, he has a drop step already. He knows how to reverse pivot already. So he's advanced offensively, skill-wise, than Olajuwon. But the basis, the foundation, the fundamentals of the footwork taken from soccer to basketball is very similar. I mean, Olajuwon was like 6'9", 6'10". Yeah, I mean, Embiid's like 7'1", 7'2". I think it was 6'11", 7'15", when he got drafted. The sixth step said he kept growing because he would think it was only 19. So he's kept growing. I mean, he could be 7'3". A 7'3 Olajuwon. Who can shoot the three? Amazing. But we have a few guys in the league already like that, right? I mean, we got Cat, Karl Anthony Towns out there in Minnesota doing the same thing. Similar game, similar skill sets. And they got the Unibrow. Have you forgotten about him? He dropped 50 last week in a loss. He needs to get out of there. I know he had to sign the contract because he had to go get paid because the rookie contract is trash. So he had to sign the extension. But he needs to get up out of there. Alvin Gentry is I don't know what they're doing. Buddy Hield, nah, chill. So, look, you got Unibrow, talented big with handles and a shot. Karl Anthony Towns, talented big with an outside shot. And now you got Embiid, say it with me now, talented big with an outside shot. So is the league just going to have, is this just what the league's going to be? Like if we fast forward 10 years from now, is this what the league's going to be? A bunch of Embiids? Like every position is going to be like 6'9 and up? Is this the future of the league? Because everybody seems to keep thinking this is the evolution of the league. Dudes are going to keep getting taller and keep being more skilled than the old school traditional, which guys are now looking down on, low post type of player. The one-dimensional offensive player where your guards are mostly ball handlers and shooters and your bigs are just guys who get banged down low. The game's evolving. Kevin Garnett had a lot to do with that. He evolved. He kind of changed the game in terms of the way it's played. But even when you go before that, Barkley, who's on TNT, and we forget how good Barkley was. I mean, if you dudes want to go check it out, go look up some Barkley cuts. He was a monster. He was only 6'4". A 6'4 power forward. And he would get the rebound off the glass and go coast to coast. So he had handles. And he wasn't the most fit person in the world. And he was still going coast to coast and gorilla dunking with two hands. That was a big evolution of the game, low key, that nobody really wants to give Chuck any credit for. I didn't see too many power forwards doing that, if at all. You might once or twice a year see a power forward try to go coast to coast. Barkley was doing it on a nightly basis. He would start the fast break, no outlet to no point guard. He's everything. I'm getting a rebound. I'm going 90 feet and getting this gorilla dunk with two hands and swinging on the rim. That's what Chuck did in his prime. So is he the evolution? Did he start it off? A dude who was 6'4", 290? Did he birth Karl Anthony Towns? Maybe. But this is where the game is going. Shaq, when Shaq came in, Shaq would go coast to coast. 7'1", 300, coast to coast. I mean, these are the dudes, so it's, you know, You're not going to see another Barkley. You're not going to see another Shaq. The closest thing we might get to Shaq is Shaq's son, who is he saying is very good and could be better than him. Remains to be seen. But I don't think we're going to see a whole bunch of Joel Embiids. I don't think we're going to get a whole influx of, you know, unibrows and Karl Anthony Towns. I don't think we're going to get that. I think we just need to take these dudes at what they are and marvel at it instead of saying, well, who's next? You know, Thon Maker. Thon Maker's supposed to be the next one. I don't know about all that. I don't see no Karl Anthony Towns and Thon Maker. I don't see no unibrow and I don't see no Embiid either. Guys will emulate. If you're tall now, if you're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", yes, you will have handle. But I don't think it's going to evolve to where now all point guards 20 years from now are going to be 6'9 and up. It's not going to be a whole bunch of Magic Johnsons on. It's not going to be what? It's 32 teams. It's not going to be 32 Magic Johnsons starting at point guard. I don't see that. But the way people keep talking like this is the evolution, I don't see it. Yes, athletes are bigger, stronger, faster, all of that good stuff. But I don't see it getting to that point where all point guards are 6'8". You know, every point guard is Sean Livingston. No, I don't see it. But just something I wanted to talk about. Because, you know, you keep hearing, you know, this is where the game's going. We're going to get more guys like this. More guys like this doing what, though? How many 6'10 guys can you get who can handle the rock? Whole starting lineups like that? I don't think so. We're still going to have 6'6 guys who could do things. Still 6'4 guys who could shoot. Still 6'1. 5'11 guys who can cross you up and get to the cup and lay it in. Those guys aren't going anywhere. Those guys aren't going to die out. They're not going to become extinct. But you keep hearing this is where the game is going. Not so fast. I think for every Barkley, every Shaq, every Garnett, every Weber, you have the next 4 or 5 guys who are similar. But I don't think we're going to get to a point where every 15-man roster is full of guys like that. Just something I wanted to hit on because I kept reading articles about how Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid are going to be like the prototype going forward. I'm just like, I don't see it. Unless you start cloning dudes, I don't see it. Okay, so I lied. I was going to get up out of here, but I forgot one thing. To touch on your boy Steph, your man Steph, your 2-time reigning MVP Steph, and that trash ass commercial they dropped on opening night. You saw it, right? I know you did. I know you saw them Curry 3s. I know you went out there and tried to cop the Curry 3s. Still don't look good, by the way. Still don't look anything close to something I would ever have on my feet or close on anybody who I love dearly to put on their feet. But nonetheless, we got the Curry 3s in a theatrical release commercial around it. Kids mimicking Steph's words. You know, your son showed you, your father showed you how to shoot. That's old. Old news. They said you're too small for the league. Old news. MVP. Unanimous MVP. Old news. You lost in the finals. Old news. You know what's not old, Steph? You know what's not old, Steph? The Warriors blowing a 3-1 lead. Not old, Steph. Not by a long shot is that old. That shit is brand new. T-shirt logo finalized. Design coming soon. For the holidays, get you and yours a Warriors Blue 3-1 lead shirt done by yours truly, info to come. Your man Steph is out here lying to y'all. Why does he keep having this narrative like he was this underdog story? Why? Why? They said your father showed you how to shoot. That's old. That's not old. That's fact. Your father was a sharpshooter at the highest level of his profession and showed you how to do what he does. How is that old? How many kids got NBA fathers who are marksmen from three-point land showing them how to do the same thing? My pops wasn't no NBA player. My pops wasn't no three-point shooter. I had to learn how to shoot. I had to learn to get my gym on my own. That wasted years of my life trying to learn how to shoot. Curry came out, the Steph came out the womb, chucking it up with proper form and elbow locked in and rotation. Years off my alleged career, learning how to shoot. That's not old. That's fact. You were too small for the league. Lie. You're too small for the league. Why are you projected to be top 10? You were projected to be top 10 in the first round. How are you too small? You were projected to be a lottery pick. Lie. Not old. Fact. Two-time MVP. Look, yeah, I know how I feel about him being MVP. We not even going to go there. Lie. Lost in the finals. You blew a 3-1 lead, including two on your home court. Your second best player karate kicked a man in the balls and got suspended for game 5. That same guy had to go to a baseball stadium across the street from Oracle to watch you get blown out as LeBron and Kyrie dropped 40 each. You then went to Cleveland and got blown out in game 6. And then with everything on the line, the first unanimous MVP, the best shooting backcourt ever, allegedly, and the Swiss Army Knife Defensive Player of the Year who got snubbed, allegedly, went out there and lost on their home court at their own crib with the Kyrie dagger in your man's unanimous MVP's grill with your then two-time reigning MVP, unanimous first ever unanimous MVP, then getting locked up by journeyman Kevin Love. And also throw in your unanimous MVP throwing a behind-the-back pass with his left to a wide-open Klay Thompson who is less than 5 feet away from him into the second row. That's not old, Steph. That's not old. Thank you for listening to the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. Listen to the show on SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports. Subscribe and review on iTunes. iTunes.com. Search for Pick and Pop Podcast. That's Pick and Pop Podcast. Look, we got Thunder Dubs on Thursday. I'll holler at you Friday. Later.